Thank you for listening to the Fail-Safe Moment. Grab a cup of coffee and let's join Rob Statham for another informative discussion helping people learn from things that go wrong.
Welcome, my name's Rob Statham. I'd like to talk to you today about how to start an investigation solo. So I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. You just got a call from your boss or some supervisor designee that said you had an incident happen, and they would like you to go perform an investigation, help them know what happened, how it happened, why it happened. I've received that call many times, and I know how you feel. Your heart leaps because it came out of the blue. You weren't expecting it. You're never expecting those calls. And you know also you have adrenaline rushing through you because time is of the essence. If you're seasoned at all in learning from these incidents and events that go wrong, you understand that the longer you wait, the harder your job will be. And the reason for that is because you need to go out and gather evidence. And evidence evaporates. It's like dry ice. So there's an urgency that comes with that call that you know you have to do your best to go gather evidence. But how are you going to start? Where do you start? I'm going to share with you our recommendations for how to start an investigation. And I share these with you because they work. They're very successful. That's why we use them. That's why I use them. That's honestly why I do what I do, is because this process was so effective, not only in helping me understand why something happened or how it happened, but it actually is effective at helping change the way people think. That is to help change people's behaviors, right? If we're going to improve, we have to change the things we're doing. And to do that, the only person that can change you is you. There's no edict coming from on high that will change you. Now, you may change outwardly for a while, but you're not going to be bought into it. You need a process that will help change people. But I'm getting a little off track. I'll back up. You got a phone call. How are you going to start? Well, the first thing I suggest, and feel free to use these or adapt them for you, but we are always, if you call me, I'm going to start the same way. I'm going to ask for the five items. I want to know a statement of what happened, right? Who did it happen to? When did it happen? Where did it happen? I need a statement. That's the first thing I want. Now, there's a purpose for me doing this. I have the same juices flowing through me of excitement and adrenaline and going, oh my gosh, I need to go do an investigation. The first thing this does is it's a way for me to take control of the investigation. Anyone calling on you, tapping on you to lead an investigation, whether it's by yourself or with a team, even if it's a catastrophic incident, with multiple subject matter experts and an evidence team, they want an investigative lead that takes control. This is where the leadership in you has to step up. And this is the number one way to do it. It's so easy when you have a plan to follow. That's why I always start with the five items, and I'll share with them what the five items are. The first is a statement, as I said. It helps center me as an investigator to know what happened. That's the whole purpose of a statement. And these things are very simple for someone to put together. The second is give me a hand-drawn picture of what happened, a schematic. For instance, if a boiler within a unit ended up having a catastrophic failure. Draw me a diagram of that boiler and what you know at this point of the failure. Right, the east end of the boiler is no longer there. Draw me a picture of that. And the reason I want a hand-drawn schematic is, again, on taking control, but I want to get up to speed. I'll look at engineering drawings. I will. I'll look at P&IDs. I'll look at things, everything that you have in that instance. But right now, I want to come up to speed quickly. That's why I want this to be hand-drawn, and it should be simple for one person to do. The next thing I ask for in the five items, the third thing is a relationship. And that again is a drawing. Think of it, it's related to the schematic, but now I want a bird's eye view. Let's back up. Give me a perspective. What is feeding in to that boiler and what is coming out of it? Give me an understanding of the systems involved within this incident that happened. That's the idea of a relationship. Again, hand drawn. This can be simple on a piece of paper. You can scan it or take a picture of it. You can email or text it to me. It's very simple to fulfill the five items. The fourth of the five items is give me a summary sequence of events. What happened leading up to this incident? This isn't the timeline of what happened as much as just a summary sequence of events, right? We were going from we just had shift change, right? We were coming out of a turnaround. Whatever had happened, tell me a few bullet points, four or five bullet points of a sequence of events. Again, this is to help get me up to speed. This is also planting seeds in me for what evidence I need to gather, right? Who do I need to talk to? What do I need to look at? What records do I need to gather? I hope that makes sense to you. And the fifth thing of the fifth item of the five items, we've gone through the five items: a statement, a schematic, a relationship, a summary sequence of events. And the fifth item are oddities. Was there anything odd about this incident? This may play into the incident. It may not. It probably does, I would say, two out of three times, but there's a time, probably 30% of the time, it may not play into it. But was there anything odd about the incident? For instance, the week before, we had a record rainfall, more rain than we'd had in 20 years. Something like that. It's just odd. Did it play into the event? Well, we'll find out, but thank you for telling me. And when I show up, when you show up, get those five items, make sure you understand what they're sharing with you, the statement. Look at the schematic with them, ask questions, the relationship. This only takes minutes. This is a 20 or 30 minute meeting to get you going. The summary sequence of events and oddities, and then agree with your sponsor, whoever called you. Okay, what do you want me to investigate? Why did the boiler, go down? Why did the boiler blow up? Though we call that the why statement. The why statement. This is your stake in the ground. Think of it like you're a surveyor and they're putting a stake way out there, out in the distance. This is the question your investigation is going to answer. The why statement. You always want to agree with your sponsor, the why statement. And again, this is helping you take control of the investigation, but it's also giving you the guardrails for the investigation. If you've done any of these, you know what happens. You're going to go out and begin to look at evidence and investigate this, and immediately what you see are other issues, right? Contributing factors. There's different terms for this. But these things pop up, and most people get bogged down because they start pursuing not just one path for how the incident occurred, but they go, well, this is wrong. Why is this wrong? And then on the other side, well, this is wrong too. Why is it wrong? Well, oh my gosh, now that's wrong and that's wrong. And you get three and four and five different things that you discover that are wrong per se, that almost have merit for their own investigation in themselves. But what you have to do is answer the question, will this help me answer why the boiler went down? If it doesn't, that's not part of your investigation. You're not going to ignore it. You'll certainly have it in your update. You need to let your sponsor know about those things, but that should be up to your sponsor if they want you to investigate that further, because you need to do this as quickly as you can, but also you want a quality investigation. So to save you time, you're not going down rabbit trails that aren't going to help you answer how the incident occurred and why it occurred. So that's the importance of the why statement. So remember, when you get that call and you feel like your heart jumps up in your throat and you're thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Remember, take a breath, relax. They called you for a reason because you're well able to do this. You are going to ask them for five items. Think of it. I need to take control of this investigation, whether I'm doing this by myself or I have a team. I need to take control. How am I going to do that? Well, do that by asking them for basic information that you need to start with anyway. We call those the five items. We ask for a statement. That's what happened. Who did it happen to? What shift? What part of the plant? Where did it happen? And when? Those are critical things that you're going to need to know anyway. Draw me a picture of it. Give me a hand-drawn schematic. I want to get up to speed quickly. Give me a relationship. That's the third part of the five items. Show me what's coming in and going out of this schematic you drew. The systems involved, if you will, a bird's eye view, if you will. And then help me, give me a summary sequence of events. What happened up to the incident? And finally, was there anything odd about this incident? That's how you take over an investigation. Review that with your sponsor and agree on what you're going to investigate. And then you'll be off and running. And I hope you know that evidence is the lifeblood of an investigation. I spend 80% of the time doing an investigation, freezing, gathering, and summarizing evidence. And I suggest you do the same. If you do that, you'll be well on your way to success. There's a few other things you should do after that. And I'll leave you with this. Think about letting the people involved be the ones that look at the evidence that you've gathered and summarized and draw their own conclusions. If you want to get in a mess and have a knot in your stomach forever, you go out, figure out what happened based on evidence, understand it, and then try and tell people what happened. They won't connect the dots if they don't see the evidence. So I hope that helps. I hope that gives you a little encouragement if you have an investigation to start. And I hope you give us a call. You need to go through our 4-day latent cause analysis experience if you really want to understand this process and also see firsthand how this will change the way you look at failure. It honestly will change the way you think in a way that is liberating. It's liberating. You'll actually look at failure differently. You'll look at it as a fantastic opportunity to help improve, both individuals but organizationally. That's the value in what Failsafe offers with latent cause analysis. Thank you for your time. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Failsafe Moment. We'd love to hear from you. Share your comments and questions below or contact us through our website, www.failsafe-network.com. Once again, that's www.failsafe-network.com. Until next time, have a great day.